الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وعلى أصحابه الأسفياء ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله رب العالمين ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا ونبينا محمد رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأمته سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد المجتبى وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا محبوب رب العالمين وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب رب العالمين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد One of the sages and wise people of this ummah Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhili rahmahullah once said that talk less with people and more with Allah. Talk less with people and more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are in more need of Allah than people. And Allah is more compassionate and merciful upon you than people. But how do you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jal does not need that the words, when they are spoken, He only hears them. But rather, your thoughts can also take the form of conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, that is called silent dhikr. Remembrance of Allah azza wa jal when you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inwardly. But rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, الدعاء مخ العبادة, that when you are conversing, when you are talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is one of the highest forms of worship. Highest forms of worship. It is the kernel of the worship and ibadah which normally a person does. Why? Because in that the servant is directly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is asking, oh Allah, when you are talking to anyone, you are connected to them. For example, when you are talking to your friend on the phone, you are connected to them mentally and spiritually. It's as though you are connected to them. And one of the previous mashayikh, even before Sayyidina Imam Abul Hassan Shazali rahmahullah, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah, he said that visit Allah every day if you can. Visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day if you can. And if not, every week. Because there are servants of Allah who visit Allah every hour, and there are servants who just remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So just to explain, people as though asked him that how can a person visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah azza wa jal is free from space and time. He, alayhi rahma, meant that visiting Allah means that when you are conscious of Allah's presence, that Allah is with you and He is hearing you and He is seeing you, and at the same time you are also connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by conversing with Him. That is visit to Allah, paying a visit to Allah. Now it can be very possible that the person is in the prayers, or now people might be sitting, but they are as though they are switched off. Meaning that light can be here, but it can be switched off as well. So many a people, they are in the prayers, they are in the gatherings of remembrance of Allah, but they are as though their shaitan has switched their switch off, or they themselves switch themselves off. Meaning they are not taking anything inside. They are still wandering in their own thoughts, and wherever they want to, someone is thinking still about business. Someone might still be thinking what they are supposed to do tomorrow. Someone might be thinking about their wife or a girl or whatever they find pleasure in. Now these people are not the wisest people on the face of the earth. As Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, that O believer, that you are trying to build dunya. You are trying to inhabit dunya. You are trying to gather dunya. You love dunya and you are trying and working to gather it. And the dunya is preparing to expel you from itself. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu ne farmaya ke tum dunya kamane aur dunya akattha karne mein lage hue ho, aur dunya tumhe nikalne ki taiyari kar rahi hai. Socho to sahi. Because every day the dunya, one day the dunya actually of the your days of your life decrease. One day and night. And every day your life is decreasing. Every day you are getting more and more old. And every day your abilities and your life is diminishing. So he said that this is not wise, that what's the dealing of dunya is with you, that is trying to push you towards death. And what you are doing, it is you are trying to decorate it, you are trying to inhabit it, you are trying to build it, and it is trying to throw you away. So that is why the awliya Allah and the sahaba rizwanul alayhim ajmain, they lived in the dunya, they knew more about dunya than us. Today a person might think, I know more about dunya, what do? That is thought of many people, that what do these people know about dunya? What do the awliya-i salihin, they know about dunya? I know what, how to address, I know how to live this life and night and day. No, these people, sahaba rizwanul alayhim ajmain, they knew more about dunya, so much so that they ruled nearly all of the world at one time. And you and me cannot rule even our bodies and our homes according to the commands of Allah. That is our state. Years and years pass, people can't wake up at what they are supposed to, when they are supposed to wake up. They can't manage the time or the wealth for that sake, or for even eating. They don't know even how to eat, how much to eat, until their stomach screams that stop, stop, stop. That's when they stop. They don't know. So even about dunya, the reality of dunya, the sahaba and awliya salihin, the righteous people, know more about. And what me and you know about dunya, and when we think we are very knowledgeable, that is foolishness. We are looking at the surface. We are looking at the outward appearance and thinking what we know. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That these people only know the outward form of the dunya, not the inner self. So when they learn about dunya, most of the time it is too late. It is too late. One of the previous Salihin, I gave you example of Imam Shazali rahmahullah. Before that, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said that visit Allah every day, every instance, if not every day, if not every week. Before even him passed a great wali of Allah, Hazrat Zunnun Misri, Zunnun Misri from Egypt. He saw in a dream that someone is saying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like an ilham, an angel speaking on behalf of Allah azza wa jal. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I created human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I created human being, insan, and millions and millions and millions human beings. I had created many other creation, but this particular creation I created for myself to serve me. All other creation is serving the human being. The sun, the moon, angels, star, the air, money, dunya, vegetables, fruit, they are serving you. But he, alayhi rahmah, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I created human being for me. But what happened was that I presented dunya to them. For example, if they are 100,000 human beings, I presented dunya to them. Attractions of dunya, meaning when we come in this dunya, dunya is presented with its beauty, its attraction, and all its form. And Allah Azza wa Jal said that out of them, out of 10 parts of the human beings, 9 parts, they fell for the dunya. They became the lover of dunya and they left me. And Allah Ta'ala ne farmaya, maine insaan ko paida farmaya aur phir dunya ko pesh kiya, تو اس میں سے 10 حصے تھے انسان کے، تو ان میں سے 9 حصے دنیا پر عاشق ہو گئے اور مجھے چھوڑ دیا. 9 پارٹس دے فیل فور دا دنیا لو آف دنیا. اینڈ دین ہی عز و جل سیڈ دیٹ فرام دی ون پارٹ وچ واز لیفٹ لائک دیر واز 100,000، ناؤ 90,000 فیل فور دا دنیا، 10,000 لیفٹ، 10,000. He said, then I presented to them Jannah. Jannah, paradise. Mentioned about paradise, the pleasures in paradise. The pleasures of paradise also are of physical nature. Most of them. Palaces, whores, eating, meetings with people and saliheen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that from that one part, that from that 10,000, again 9 parts fell for the Jannah. Their aim became the Jannah and the pleasures of Jannah, primarily not my pleasure. And he said that then I presented hell upon them. From that one part, 9 parts actually fell to the hell. Only 100 was left. 100. And then from that 100, that firstly majority fell for the 90% for dunya, the remaining 10% from them, even 10% fell for the Jannah. From them, then 10% fell for the hellfire, for the fear of hell. And then from the remaining 10%, even 10% from that 90% fell for the high status and darajat and karamat and all these things. And he said, my servants then only were left 10 in number. Very few. And I said to them, that was servants, why didn't you make your primary concern these things? And they said that, oh Allah, we only want you. We worshipped you and we only wanted you. And that is how it's happening. But in this world, as you are living here and hear the news, and in the newspaper you read, from friends and family you need, majority is trying to progress and trying to make this life better. I am working, I am in hundreds, I am trying to make in thousand, the thousand person is trying to make in 100,000, etc., etc. People are also very conscious of their health, they want very good health as well. They are always very careful of their health. What should they eat, what should they not, doing diet and things. They don't want to be ill. They don't want to be poor. They don't want to be any problem. But the fact of life is, but yes, there are poor people in the world. In spite of their wanting to be very rich, they are still poor. Many people here who do business, who are living in UK, who do business, and then they become bankrupt. And one person might be living in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, any other country, and they might be playing in millions. There are people who are ill here as well, and in other parts of the country as well, and in other part of the world as well. Now, people who don't understand the reality of these things and the reality of dunya, they always remain confused. But what's happening? You know, I am trying to do this and I am ending up in failure. I am trying to have good health and look at my health. I am trying to be rich, what's happening to us? And I am also good and pious and still I am suffering from illnesses. I am suffering from illnesses. I am suffering from poverty. In one of the hadiths which I am going to read to you, One of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which one brother forwarded it to me, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam unfolded the secrets of these things, why these things are happening, especially for the pious people, for the people who believe on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Muslims, and amongst Muslim the believers, what are they? One are those people, category of those people who've left Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance, who've left to follow His commands. Allah azza wa jal said in the Quran, فَلَمَّا نَسُومَ ذُكِرُوا بِهِ, that when someone, and Allah is mentioning about many people, when they forgot me and my advice and nasiha, and they became rebellious, she's mentioning about certain people. When again and again that we become rebellious to Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. In their lifetimes, I open the door of everything upon them. Wealth, health, fame, social status, these things, this time comes in the person's life. You see many kings falling down, many princesses falling down, many leaders falling down, many community leaders, many amongst your family who were poor, then actually everything they had at one time. But Allah Azza wa Jalla said that these people think that when they have fame and name and little bit of glory and money, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمَ بَابَ كُلَّ شِنْ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِهُوا بِمَا, until they become very happy with their state. They're very happy that we are the lucky ones. These poor people are suffering. These are the religious people, Anbiya alayhim salam and Sahaba. Look, they suffered in dunya, and we are very, very luxurious living, lavish lifestyle and thing. But that's only for a short period of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِهُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَهُمْ بَغْتَ, then suddenly I hold them accountable. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, and they become shocked and surprised and they don't know now what's happening. Sometimes this happens in the time of death and sometimes before as well. No matter you are playing in millions. Yesterday I heard news, one of the person, a friend who used to study with me in the university, doing post-graduation studies, and then he went on to do MBA. He was from Pakistan, mashallah, a good person who used to pray. And then he was from Pakistan, he went to Dubai, and he worked there, and he married a sister from Syria, a Muslim sister from Syria, then developed his own company, and settled in Canada. And he suddenly died actually recently. He was just visiting a client. He had a market research, very successful, a market research and a marketing company in different parts of the world. He had client. So he went from Canada, he went to visit 3 children, young wife, successful business, everything he's got, an education. He went to visit a client in Saudi Arabia. A client in Saudi Arabia, just to visit a client and make some more business. And there he had a heart attack and he passed away there. So where we are building, it's like we are building a house on sand. It can be demolished every. My shop, my business, my factory, my education comes to zero suddenly, at the time of, if people become paralyzed, people become have cancer, they die, people actually have go to many other things. So these are not reliable things. These are necessities. We are in this world, we should utilize them. But whenever there is conflict in dunya and akhirah, when our dunya starts to harm akhirah, then is the time to leave that dunya. indulge in dunya, earn dunya, live in dunya until it does not harm your akhirah, until it does not harm your life forever. If it starts your job, your business, if it starts harming your akhirah, then know that you are doing a very harmful, lossful deal. Because soon, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, the dunya every day tries to get you out of it, and you are giving your whole of your time to it. That is not a wise thing to do. That is trying to throw you away, and you are trying to entertain it and building everything there. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith of Tabarani, Imam Tabarani narrated, and Imam Ibn Rajab Hanbali, he alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned and disclosed some of the secrets which we would never have known. And any believer who knows these things, he will have a good and true understanding of dunya, true understanding of akhirah, a good understanding of their own life and what's happening to them and what's not happening to them, they will have. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the servant of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to serve him in childhood, a blessed person who lived a long life even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's physical departure from this dunya, who was like a son to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was a very young man who served Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. He says that I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah says, this is called Hadith Qudsi, which means it is what Allah said, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in his own words. Quran is what Allah says, and the words are of Allah as well. Quran is the word of Allah, what Allah said, and the literally the words of Allah. Hadith Qudsi means it is what Allah said, but Prophet ﷺ is mentioning in his own words. That is called Hadith Qudsi. So here ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there are those amongst my slaves, my servants, mere bandu mein kuch aise hain, whose iman will never be right, sound or good. Whose iman will not be protected, whose iman will be ruined, whose iman will never be strong except through poverty. Try to open your inner eyes and inner ears as well and be switched on and listen. Because when there will be something beneficial, shaitan will try to make you drowsy. So you should try actually, that it's important instruction, like emergency instruction, when how to exit this building in the state of fire, in state of emergency. So how to exit from this dunya with iman, that's what this hadith is telling you. How to exit this world with the wealth of iman. When you have 1 million, billions, devils, shayateen, dunya, people of dunya, human being and jinnat, trying to pinch and trying to steal this iman with you and trying to damage. And how can you go with sound iman? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there are my servants, meaning who are pious people. Who are pious people. He is not talking about, Allah is not talking about disbelievers. He is not talking about people rebellious. Talking about who believe in Allah, who make good effort, and who make an effort to be in good health, to earn and become millionaires, and to be in good health, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more, but they can't. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are my slaves, my servants, whose iman will never be good, will never be protected, never be sound, it will never be preserved, except through poverty, except through lack of sustenance, poverty. That there for them, staying in poverty is the protection of Iman. Even though they try to be rich, they are doing business after this business, working there, investing there, but after all this, remain in poverty. After doing all the effort, I'm not talking about lazy people who are sitting hand upon hand in their houses and just actually thinking that, you know, they should have risk and they should be in millions or whatever. We're not talking about these. These people are foolish people. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even has mentioned regarding animals and birds that they work as well for their livelihood. It's a different matter. Some people work with the mind, some people work with the physical body. Look at the manager in a company. A manager, a director in a company. The director is not doing all this in the work of the shop floor and doing all the labor work and all these things. He's not doing anything really, in the sense physically. He's just sitting on his chair and directing, giving us to do this, do that, we are going to do this, that's our plan. He's not doing much. So, but he's working mentally. So sometimes actually, but he's paid more. So some people are working mentally, some are working with the physical body, but person should be working or some have invested and they're sitting in their home and eating out of that investment, good and well. That is good. If you can have money without actually making effort and you spend the rest of the time for your akhirah, ideal situation for you. Good for you. You shouldn't delve into dunya more and more because this is going to expel you anyway. You are trying to make it and the dunya is trying to break you. That's not good, dear. That's not wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are those amongst my slave whose iman will never be sound and good and strong except through poverty. And if I were to grant them richness, if I were to make them millionaires, billionaires, and if I were to grant them expense in wealth, because there's no deficiency in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu said in another hadith of Qudsi that if all of the humanity and jinnat, they get together in one ground and they ask from me whatever they want, and instantly in one second I listen to them, all of them at once, and grant them as well whatever they, and in my treasures there will be no deficiency as even when you just put a needle in the sea and whatever from water it lessens from the sea. Even to that extent my treasures will not be affected. So it's not that there is any lackness, deficiency in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasure, but because we are in a testing world here. We are in a testing world. We are in a testing place here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if I were to grant them richness, it would ruin their iman and ruin them. It will ruin them. So now you should listen, apply this on you. If you are a good servant of Allah, if you pray to Allah, you try to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow this sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at the same time you are trying to earn more and more and more and more, after trying, after doing business, you are still in poverty, that's where goodness is for you. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That if I am giving to some servant, if I give them richness, expense, and lot of wealth, it will ruin their iman. Ruin their iman. That's what happened to Pharaoh. One sheikh said that if he didn't have two chapatis to eat twice a day, he wouldn't have claimed he is God. What led him to claim to be God was that the abundance of rizq, the abundance of wealth, the abundance of kingdom. And he said, I have this kingdom. Abu Jahl and the leader of Munafiqeen in Medina, they were leaders and their leadership came in danger, their money came in danger, They didn't follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this. Abu Lahab was a very rich person. His richness became an obstacle. His social status became an obstacle. So many a people have been ruined. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is my servant, I manage the affair of my servant myself. Even though they being childishly want to become, want to have this, I would not let them have because I love them. They are being childish, they are being foolish, but because they have trusted in Allah, they won't be ruined. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there are my servants whose iman will never be preserved and strong except through poverty, and if I were to grant them wealth and expense, it would ruin them. It would ruin them. So this means that if you don't have that kind of car you want, that kind of house you want, that kind of wife, the beauty of wife you have. Many people, when they are in good relation, they have beautiful wife, or they are in good relation, they might actually just forget prayers, forget deen, they are just busy in their own romantic life. And when they are not, then they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they think, oh, these people of this world are actually not always nice people. So it becomes a means for them to turn to Allah. And many of the scholars, a great muhaddis, Imam Sharfuddin Nawawi, rahmahullah, who is the writer of Riyazus Salihin. Most people know about his book, Arab and Ajam. They read his book. He was a great commentator of Quran, commentator in Hadith, and a great scholar, muhaddis, who was student of Imam Ibn Qudama. And in turn, Imam Ibn Qudama was student of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani. So from he and between Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani is only one link. It's only one link. He was a great muhaddis. All people from all schools of thought, Brailvi, Deobandi, Salafis, they all actually follow and read his books. He went so busy in learning knowledge, that he was not able to marry. He wanted to marry, but he was learning and saying that I will learn and serve the Ummah, and then I'm going to marry. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life at 45 years of age. But he's not in loss. He's not in loss. He's been in paradise by the fadl of Allah. Inshallah, Azzawajal, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be in paradise in Jannah. There he will have many wives as well. He wants. Rather, these people still are not interested in women. They are in Jannah, as I have mentioned to you early on. They are interested in the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spending time. That's what Hazrat Uwais al-Qarni radiallahu ta'ala said when he met Hazrat Umar. Imagine a person like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the second best person after the Anbiya alayhim salam. He went and met Sayyidina Uwais al-Qarni. He said, "Ya Uwais, I've heard that you love Rasulullah so much that you took that tooth out when you heard that Rasulullah's tooth has been martyred." He said, "Yes, that is my love and my obedience to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He said, "But strange thing is that you have not seen Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have not visited him. If you love him so much, how were you able to keep yourself away?" He said that when I was away from him, that is also because of the love of Rasulullah. Because myself, my nafs wanted to visit him. But Rasulullah, Sharia was saying to serve the mother. So I gave preference to what Prophet wanted rather than what I wanted. My heart, and I wanted to be with him, I wanted to see him. But Rasulullah's Sharia, his command was, he wanted me to stay here. So I suppressed my own desire for Rasulullah. This is true love. Love is not to fulfill your own desire. Love is to fulfill the desire of who you love. Who you love. And he said, "Oh Umar, don't you know, still I am with the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even here. I am not away from him. I am with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him some more advice and more nasiha, because he heard from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Uwais is a blessed person. And Uwais said, "Oh Umar, really my death and the day of judgment is very, very close. I don't have time to talk with you. We will have long conversations and long meetings in the hereafter. Please go and let me engage in the worship of my Lord now." So who were such blessed people that who were saying to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that he can't spend time with him because he's too busy with his own self. He's too busy with his own nafs, actually rectifying it and engaged with the conversation and the worship and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And said Hazrat Umar, the time is less. Time is less. And we'll meet on the day of judgment. And there, if you want, we'll have long conversation. That's what one of the teachers I heard saying. He said that, I asked him that I want to be with you, live with you. And he said that really, this dunya is a time for work and sacrifice. Look at the Sahaba. Someone is buried in India. Someone is buried in China, someone is buried in Tabin, buried in those lands. Someone, Abu Ayyub Ansari, buried in Europe. Someone is buried in Syria, like Sayyidina Bilal, Khalid ibn Walid. He said, look at these people. They wanted to be with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the prophet and the messenger, and they loved him very much to the extreme. But this is the time of work. He said, my brother, in Jannah, there will be nothing to do except meeting people. In paradise, there will be nothing to do, just meeting and eating. No sleeping as well. Some people are trying to make Jannah here, but you can't. They eat, sleep, and actually, that's the work. That's what they, but you can't. This is not, because this finishes. This actually ends very, very soon. 30 years has passed of yours, like a blink of an eye. Another two blinks, either you are 90 or you are in the hereafter anyway. So don't give your life to the blinks of the eyes. Give your life to a life where actually there is no end. So that Shaykh said that people who like sitting, talking, listening to each other, meeting good people or meeting your friends and family who are good, that place is Jannah. There will be enough time, no end of that time. Sometimes you are visiting your friends, good friends. Sometimes you are visiting awliya Allah, salihin. Sometimes you will be visiting the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will be visiting other anbiya alayhi islam, the sahaba of the previous ummahs, and other awliya Allah and salihin, angels. Sometimes you will be visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the place, that is the life really. That's what Rasulullah said, the life really is the life of hereafter. Because this is just a passing shade. It will just go away. It is a shade. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned to you, that said that those servants put trust in me after doing effort, and if they are not getting expense, if they are not getting abundance of risk, and they are not becoming millionaires and very rich people, I am who is holding them from ruin. If I were to grant them richness, it would ruin them. If I were to grant them whatever they want to do, some people are very upset they don't have children. Well, after adopting lawful means, after marrying, doing medical treatment, if you don't have, know that that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now be content, because it's better for you not to have children. Because many people have been ruined after having children. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are those amongst my slaves whose iman would never be strong and protected except through wealth. Imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there are those of my servants that if their iman would not be protected except through wealth, when they are wealthy, that their iman is strong. And if I were to make them poor and impoverish them and to bring them to poverty, then it would ruin their iman and their lives of hereafter. So these are different kinds of servants. There are people who, many awliya Allah, who are very, very rich people. Outwardly, Anbiya alayhim Islam, many Anbiya alayhim Islam, they were kings. And many awliya like Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmahullah, they were like international businessmen. They are billionaire people, spiritually and physically as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there are people, they are amongst my servants, that who even they don't want rizq as such, but I grant them abundance because their iman will be protected through that. And if I were to make them poor, their iman will be ruined. So if a person is easily getting rizq, although you are putting effort and you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is better for you to stay in that state. Look at the states of the Sahaba, Rizwan Ajmain. One side, it is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who is rich. And one side, there are other Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Dhar, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who didn't have outward wealth so much. Although they were all Sahaba, so Allah chose for them whatever was best for them. But when, after making lawful effort and trying, so some people, richness is better for them. Money is better for them. Poverty is not better for them. قَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. So some, for some people, faqr, poverty leads them to kufr and sinfulness. They will do many sins. They will commit crime. They will murder. They will steal. They will rob. They will sell drugs if they are not actually, they don't have money. Some people, they actually, if they have money, they will actually ruin themselves, their iman. Because once they have money, they'll just extravagantly spend here, there, and be just in their comfort zones, and soon death visits them, and then they are ruined. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, there are those amongst my slaves whose iman will never be right, sound, or protected, except in good health. And if I were to try them with the illness, it would ruin them. There are many, many people. Don't use the same brush on everyone. Don't tie everyone in the same rope. Different natures of people. That's why don't compare to yourself to other people. If you want to compare, compare regarding deen and taqwa. And compare with the higher people of deen. So he, Azza wa Jal, said, they're amongst my servants whose iman will never be protected except in good health. And if I were to try them, if I were to put illness in them, they will be ruined. So many righteous people, they stay healthy for the last days of their life. That's good for them. So if you are healthy, you're pious, you are obedient, alhamdulillah, that's good for you. Don't try to ruin your health. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are those amongst my servants whose iman would never be sound and protected except through illness. And if I were to make them healthy, it would ruin them. That is a message for people who are praying and righteous, but they are in illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Azza wa Jalla is saying that if I were to make them healthy, for some people, illness is better. He's saying, it expiates their sin. It keeps them, it makes them humble. It makes them to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, illness. So these are not signs. These are principles of tariq. The path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which I'm mentioning. These are not signs of anyone being pious or anyone being not pious. These are not signs anyone is beloved of Allah, anyone is enemy of Allah. If someone has very much good wealth, it doesn't mean that they are friend of Allah. If someone doesn't, it doesn't mean they are enemy of Allah. If someone is healthy, it doesn't mean they are pious. If someone is ill, it doesn't mean that they are impious. What will determine who is good, who Allah likes or not, is that you are practicing the commands of Allah, do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and following the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Even though you don't have anything of this world, you are still successful. Because you have done a good deal. So fourthly, Allah said, there are those amongst my slaves whose iman would never be right except through illness, and if I were to make them healthy, it will ruin them. So now this should give you contentment and sabr. Many people pious explain, I am pious, I do pray, still illnesses does not go away from me. Still I am having this health, I have a heart problem, I have sugar, I have diabetes, I have this and this. And the other person who is rebellious, he doesn't have any of them. That doesn't mean that they are more beloved to Allah than you. For you, that state is better. Now that does not mean, as I said various times, you don't take medicine, you don't try to be healthy. What I am saying is, after you have tried, after you have exerted effort, after you have put effort into it to become healthy, and then even if you remain in any illness, that is better for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are those amongst my slaves who seek to enter by the door of excessive worship, door of nafli ibadat, there's certain worship, and I prevent them from that, lest ujub, arrogance and conceit enter them. Now this is another piece of wisdom, great wisdom. Because there are some people who say, well, you see, I would like to finish the Quran every night, or I would like to pay so many prayers, but I am ill, I can just about do my fara'is, I can just about manage with prayers, I can't do any extra nafli ibadat very much. Well, even if after trying to take time out to do the extra worship you can't do, that is better for you even as well. If you are fulfilling your fara'is, you are working your livelihood, managing your children, your wife, other things, and you don't have time for optional ibadah, doing lot of tasbihat, lot of zikr, lot of these things, then that is better for you. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says that if I was to give them this time to worship, they will develop self-likeness, they will develop self-centeredness, they will become big-headed, they will become arrogant, they will think they are the best person in the world, and the others are of second class. And their end will be like the end of shaitan. That's what happened with shaitan. Look, he had abundance and plenty of time in the Jannah to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No obstacle, nothing. And what happened? Conceit and self-likeness developed in him. He became fond of himself. He said, I am better. Ana khair, I am the best one, I am the better. And I actually became in him. I am the better. But if I am the servant, I am the humble, that I is good. To say I actually, and to claim piety, and on that basis that is not to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, that is disastrous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if any woman is old, any man is old, and now they can't worship so much, or they are young but they are ill, or they are young but they are too busy, they have to earn livelihood, they have to attend needs of their children and other things, they can't worship as much as they lie, that is what's better for them. I prevent them from that, lest conceit should enter them. And similarly, there are servants who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time them to worship. For them, that's better. If they were not to engage in that extra worship, they would have been ruined. So don't compare. Then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I manage the affairs of my servants. I myself manage. Because that servant has trusted me, now I manage affairs. I manage his health and wealth and whatever state he stays in outwardly. I manage the affairs of my slaves by my knowledge of what is in their heart. Because they want me. They want to be good. They want to do these things. I know what's in their heart, but I give them what's better for them. I know what's in their hearts, but I give them what's better for them. Because I am the all-knowing and all-aware. So in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave abundance of guidance and pearls of wisdom, that if these things are happening to you, that's how you should understand them. Again, I summarize it, unless, because people don't understand. After my discourses, my speech, many times I ask people from my home, from family, friends, what have you understood? And it seems that they have not really understood anything, except actually very, very few things. And I feel like I should be repeating one speech actually 10 times really. Then really a person will understand. Because the purpose of us getting here is to remind and understand of each other. Not to learn new things. If they learn to learn new things, there are many other things to learn. It is to understand. So again I summarize that servants of two kinds. There are who are rebellious, who are sinful, who don't come towards religion and deen. They are at one side. Then there are others who are believers, who pray, who want to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then different things happen to them. After even trying, doing dua, and doing all these duas from Allah, give us abundance of rizq, money, they still don't have. It's better for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's better for them to stay in that state. I am keeping in them in that state. And their servants who don't put so much effort, but after little bit of effort, they get a lot of risk. For them, it is better to stay in that and use it lawfully. And then there are people, servants, who in spite of taking all care, this is private insurance from doctors, and this is I'm eating this special food and this mineral water, everything there, but still they develop such disease that other people who are drinking from outside, where animals drink, they don't get those diseases. Because everything is in control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they still get, they fall ill, that is better for them. They should do sabr, they should take medicine, do dua from Allah, but be content of the result, whatever they get. And if the servant is healthy, alhamdulillah, he should be thankful, that's better for them. Similarly, illness. Similarly, money with a wife or children, a husband, you don't have the husband. After trying to find the best husband for you, you ended up with someone who is good, pious, but not is not rich, is not so handsome. Well, that's better for you. If he's not evil, that's better for you. But if someone is finding wife, a partner, to be, if she is pious, she is obedient, servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she might not be so beautiful, she might not be rich, she might not have a very a big fame or name, that is better for you. That is the life for you. Similarly, worship, if you excessive worship, ibadat, you are not able to do even after trying, you are just doing about your farais, abstaining from the haram, and rest of the time is in work and doing those things, that's good state for you. And if you're getting a lot of time free, then utilize it. These are not the signs of any piety or actually impiety. They are different things completely. Piety, impiety is determined by taqwa and iman and following sharia and sunnah, not by these things. So whenever now, if you say that many people come to me, I'm going to read namaz, but I don't have diseases. That's the answer that Hazrat Islam gave. یہ میں تو بڑا رزق دعائیں بھی کرتا ہوں پھر بھی نقصان ہی نقصان ہو رہا ہے تو یہ اس کا جواب ہے. That is the answer. Because you are beloved of Allah, Allah likes you, so Allah does not want to ruin you. It's like many parents, although they might be rich, they are millionaires, but they don't give to their children money, excessive money. You know, he might get into drugs, he might be wandering there in the nightlife, he might go off with something else, he might do something foolish. They have money, they don't give them. They say, okay, we're only giving you little money. Because they are restraining for the betterment. So when a servant trusts Allah and makes effort, then Allah says, I manage the affairs. How blessed is that person that Allah manages the affair of his. And who, by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my knowledge, Allah ke ilm. بس یہی ختم کرتے ہیں. That's where we end. And if person, as we always give da'wah to you, that in your lifetime you have begun many journeys. Aapki zindagi mein aapne bahut sari journey. One was a journey of life which began as soon as you were born. One was the journey of health. You are looking after your health. One was the journey of wealth, career. That's a journey. A career is a journey that you said, I want to be this, I want to be this, I'm studying this, I'm studying this. That's a journey as well. Then the journey of marriage started. A life partner, a marriage life, physical life, health life. But also you must, and it's the most important, you should start the journey to meet Allah as well. Journey to the pleasure and closeness of Allah. That is the most best and wonderful journey. Make a start and let the end, put the end actually to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His hand. Your part is to make the start and leave the end to Allah. But if you don't even start the journey, then it is a loss. It is a loss. So this journey to Allah, the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he taught, we also try to teach people, the brothers try. So if any brother or sister, whoever is listening, they are interested, please give your name for 10-15 minute snapshot of this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any other question in relation to that, or that in relation to the hadith which I commented on, you want to ask, inshallah. And otherwise then we start the majlis of zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. There's a request for dua from someone's brother Salim's son is having a bone marrow transplant this week. Inshallah, we'll do dua for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures him and all other people. But I said this is related to the topic. If a person doesn't get cured, that is the betterment after doing the treatment. He should do sabr. Rasulullah used to fall ill. He used to have fever. He had many other. Sometimes he had headache. All these things happened to Anbiya alayhim salam and awliya Allah. And someone is asking historical question. It's not a religious question. I'm not a man of history. I'm not a man of knowledge as well at all. But little bit of history. I know some basic beliefs about Islam. I'll answer according to that. So why did the Tabi'een and some companions as well killed or martyred Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala? No. Well, this is news for me. It is no, I don't have that information that they did that actually. It was the munafiqeen and the hypocrites who did, not the actually Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in. It is that what you are reading in history. Remember that Islam, the revelation of Islam ended upon Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens after Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the history, that is the history of Muslim, not history of Islam. It's a history of Muslim. So we took beliefs and everything actually from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through him through the Sahaba Rizwan wa Ajmain. And then there are some in the history of Islam, many things happened, but we have no sound, you may say, a chain or a way to know what really happened. So we cling to the beliefs of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, that actually we believe all the Sahaba Rizwan al-Jama'in, they are the people of paradise, and the people of Ahlul Bayt, they are the highest amongst the even the Sahaba from one dimension. They're all awliya Allah. And if these people Let me just quote one hadith and one Quranic reference from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give these people guidance who are always trying to find fault with awliya Allah, anbiya alayhi islam, sahaba and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not a good way to live life. They are people who actually lived the pious life, and Quran declared their piety. I have so many faults myself, committing zina. Zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the hands. And as I quoted the hadith, Al-Aynani Tazniyan, Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said that every person who commits zina, meaning he adultery with the eyes looking at the na-mahram, in the spiritual world, in the unseen world, a creation is born. It's like a son is born to him. A son is born to him. جیسے یہاں زنا سے بچہ پیدا ہوتا ہے. حضور غوثِ پاک نے فرمایا سر الاسرار اپنی کتاب میں حدیث نقل کی کہ آنکھیں بھی زنا کرتی ہیں, اور بعد میں فرمایا کہ ہر نظر کے بدلے میں ایک بچہ پیدا ہوگا غیب کی دنیا میں, اور بچہ قیامت کے دن اس بندے کو ذاب دے گا. آپ جائیں گے اللہ کے در, you will go in the court of Allah and you will have 1000 children, very ugly, vicious, scaring creation with you. And they all will be saying, he is our dad, he is our dad. And you will be saying, no, I have only 3 children. I only have 2 children. They'll say, we are your children who were created because of the zina you committed of the eyes in this world. And today, we are the witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yes, this person did, and we were born, and we are his illegitimate spiritual offspring. And Allah is going to punish you now, our dad, through us actually. And you will now know the taste of actually disobeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, आप अंदाज़ा लगाइए. हम तो पता ही कहाँ कहाँ सोए हुए हैं, पता ही नहीं क्या हो रहा है. उस दुनिया में तो बड़े बड़े अजीबो गरीब मामले आते हैं कि हर आंख से बच्चा आप सईद अब्दुल कादिर जिलानी फरमाया पैदा होगा, जो वो अजाब देगा बंदे को जहन्नम में, और अल्लाह के यहाँ गवाही देगा कि ये मैं इसकी हराम की औलाद हूँ, ये जो जिना करता है आंखों से, इसी तरह जो हाथों से करता है, वो भी बच्चा पैदा होता है. लोगों के 10-10 हजार बच्चे होंगे जिसमें हम आंखें देखते रात दिन को. वो नेक लोगों के साथ नेकियां होंगी, नमाज होगी, इबादत होगी, जिक्र होगी, हजारों किस्म की वो होंगी. ये हजूर गौसे पाक गौसे आजम रजी अल्लाह तआला अन्हु سیدنا عبدالقادر جیلانی کا ارشاد ہے اپنی کتاب سر الاسرار, جو انگلش میں بھی جس کی ٹرانسلیشن ہوئی ہے دا سیکرٹ آف سیکرٹس, اس میں آپ نے نقل کیا اور سمجھانے کی کوشش کی. ہی ٹرائی ٹو ایکسپلین ٹو پیپل دا بی ویئر دس از سیریس میٹر, اینڈ اف یو آر فائنڈنگ دس ہارڈ ٹو ابسٹین فرام پورنوگرافک مٹیریل اور جسٹ گیزنگ لوکنگ ہیئر اینڈ دیئر, دیٹس وائی آئی ایم سیئنگ اسٹارٹ دس کورس آف سیلف پیوریفیکیشن سو اٹ کین پیوریفائی یو. So that you will have purified eyes. If you have purified nafs, you will have purified eyes. Then you won't be wandering here and there, but you will be a blessed person. And then second question is also historical. Why Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala used to curse Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala? This is actually blatant lie actually. And this person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Sahaba never did this. He did never actually curse actually Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. No. And so the hadith and the Quranic ayat which I want to answer in it is the Surah Al-Mumtahina, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tattakhidhu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya. What happened was that Rasulullah was trying to, now this person is asking question about what happened after Rasulullah. I say Islam has finished on Rasulullah. Now I am answering you what happened in the life, in the lifetime of Prophet Sallallahu, where we get guidance. Prophet wanted to go and has intention to go, planning to go to Makkah to invade Makkah, because they for the war expedition. There was war, another matter was taking place, but it was a plan of Rasulullah. One of the companions known as Hazrat Atib Hazrat Hatib radiallahu ta'ala an, he had his children and wife living in Makkah. And his children and wife were unprotected. He didn't have any family. He didn't have any other protection. So he thought that my wife and my children are to be tortured and slain by these merciless kuffar. So I have no one to protect them there. No family, nothing, no other social protection. So he said, what shall I do? So he advised, he sent a letter to the kuffar of Makkah by mentioning to them about the plan of Rasulullah SAW. Now Rasulullah SAW is planning to come to Makkah, and that's what his plan is, save yourself or be ready. He did this so that they will think that this person have given us some information and will protect his children and mine. That's what his intention. When he sent this letter through a woman, and she was going, and she went off with that letter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through revelation informed Rasulullah s.a.w. about this. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and another company, said, go after such and such place. This is the knowledge of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he said, such and such place, you will find a woman and she will have a letter with her, and you should take the letter, bring that letter back. So companions, one Sayyidina Ali and another company, they went and they exactly after many 100 miles or so, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better, they on the same exactly place they saw that woman going. They went to that woman and said that we are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, karramallahu wajhahu kareem. You have a letter, and we came for that letter. She said, no, I don't have that letter. I don't have any letter for that sake. I don't have any letter. He said, no, no, you have this letter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said this. Oh, everything can be wrong, but what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, it can never be wrong. So either you give us this letter, or we will by force actually search you. So when she knew that they were going to search, then she got out the letter from which she hid in her back of her hair. In her hair he had hidden, and she gave. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala brought that letter back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and properly opened, and their whole plan of war was revealed to the Meccan people and written by Hazrat Hatib radiallahu ta'ala an. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called Hazrat Hatib, that he said, Hatib, that you exposed the secret of the Messenger of Allah to the enemies of Allah. And Hazrat Hatib said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not that I am a hypocrite, when by Allah swear that I am a believer and I love you, but this is just to protection of my children, because I have no other means for them to be protected there. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I am going to cut this head off this munafiq, because he had put so much Muslims, Sahaba and Rasulullah in danger, and Rasulullah his own life in danger, and the Sahaba I'm going to cut his head off, this hypocrite. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, Umar, he is not a hypocrite. He is not a hypocrite. And he is Hatib who have participated in the Battle of Badr. Battle of Badr. Although what he did is wrong, but Allah had said to me after the Battle of Badr that, oh, my beloved Prophet, my Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I looked at the people of Badr and I became so pleased with them that after that, whatever they do, they are forgiven. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Umar that was what was revealed. That was what I understood. That is what the guidance of Allah is, that he was a participant of the Battle of Badr, and to the Sahaba Rizwanul Ajmain who participated in the Battle of Badr, they are forgiven. I mean, I am giving you an extreme example. Even if a mistake happens from a companion, because they were not the prophets and anbiya, still Rasulullah is not letting them to be criticized. He is not letting them to be criticized. He is not even allowing Hazrat Umar to speak against him. So who is me and you if we today we are his feet? Then Rasulullah is not going to be happy and pleased with us. For us, our own affairs are enough to be engaged in. They were pious people, and the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they are the best people amongst who are companions. Any prophet did not have so better and best companion as Rasulullah had the companion. Because these were the people. So all these things which someone has asked, these are historical things, and historical things, we don't rely upon them. Now is the age of technology. Still people are killed and cameras are there, cases are not decided. Who did this, what, and what did this. So a person should avoid and these matters and try to engage in the purpose why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me and you. And Allah azza wa jal also said in the Quran, tilka ummatun qad khalat. This group of people have passed. That group has passed. Laha ma kasabat. They will face whatever they have earned. They will be rewarded or punished according to whatever they have earned. Walakum ma kasabtum. For you is whatever you did in this life. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ. You will not be questioned. عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. What they did. You will be questioned about what you did in this life. So why I engage in unnecessary question which I will never be asked on the day of judgment. So this is tactic of shaitan, which is trying to get people into arguing with each other, oh, this person is believer, this is disbeliever, or I am right and the other is wrong. And they both arguing, and they both maybe are absent from Fajr prayer from the mosque. And they're arguing about deen actually in the sitting room and in the sofas, sitting there. No one is getting up for tahajjud, where no one disputes that tahajjud is a virtuous act. Pretend Fajr prayer is necessary, wajib and farz. Yeah. So this shows that these people have been actually off the track. Come to the things which are unanimous to act upon, which everyone agrees that they are sinful, abandon them, and virtuous, and adopt them. There is where your salvation lies. If these people did good and bad, anyone in the history, they will actually bear their own results and own actually whatever recompense Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give them. One person was sitting beside Hazrat Rabia Basariya rahimahullah, who was a saintly woman, and he said, dunya is very bad, dunya is this, dunya is that, dunya is mentioning very much about dunya and criticism. She said, it is better you get up from my company. Leave my company, because it seems you have love of dunya. He said, why? I am criticizing dunya. He said, you are criticizing dunya, but you are criticizing it so much. A person who mentions something very frequently, the sign he loves it. If you know it's bad, once you mention it, finish the matter. We all know urine or filth is bad. We don't actually say it all the time, filth is bad. Have you ever seen it? It smells bad. Urine is not good. It is impure. Once you know it, finish. If it's something comes up, a question, you deal with it. And you mentioning dunya again and again and again. Actually. And someone came there and he said, he was cursing shaitan. Shaitan lanti hai, maloon hai, lanti hai. Hazrat Rabia Basariya ne farmaya, he said, that Allah had already cursed him. Your curse cannot be greater than the curse of Allah. You do zikr of Allah, where you will benefit. So meaning the awliya Allah and anbiya alayhi salam, they had positive sahaba, Rizwan Rajim, awliya, positive mind, thinking about positively, thinking about the good side of people and abandoning the negative side. Because if you go on the negative, you will have negative thoughts. Negative thoughts will end up in negative action, and negative action will end up in negative results. And you will be the one who will actually have to then bear with those results.
Other brothers who would like to give their names for the course of self purification, and inshallah, 10 to 15 minutes, the brother will explain to you how to Allah, inshallah. Put your hands up, inshallah, and the brothers write their names down. Agreed by scholars that one of the greatest sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the conveying the message and spreading the deen to the four corners of the world. And inshallah, this has been happening, and brothers, mashallah, in the UK and inshallah other countries are making this effort to spread the message and helping other people and spreading this course and. Reminding people that there is a way out and that there is a path still to this very day that exists. So inshallah, in regards to this, there's for 2 days inshallah there's going to be a camp that will be in Birmingham on Friday the 26th of this month, November, to Sunday the 28th of November, where brothers will have the opportunity to not only spend time with brothers who are on this course, but they will have the opportunity to learn about the necessary the do's and don'ts of deen and act upon it themselves, and then also to convey the message to other people. So this inshallah will be taking place on that weekend. So if there's anyone who would like to participate, can they please stand up, and inshallah we'll take the names. And if you cannot participate for the full 2 days, then you can have 1 day, whatever time you can get. What's your name, brother? You can see this brother afterwards as well, inshallah, for the arrangements.
Be frank with yourself, me and you. There'll be very less people who will have 5 or 6 years will give out of life to deen. You know, we cannot find that time. So with all these busy schedule and our busy life, if we can take 2 days on weekend or 2 days during the week, a month out and spending time in the mosque, learning necessary things, conveying to others, that's how you have to do. And having this far-fetched idea, yeah, I will be 75 years old. Someone was saying, when I will be 75 years old, I will have full commitment to deen. And someone said to them, what guarantee you have actually that you're going to live 75? And even if you give commitment, what deen you are going to serve with that body and that mind, which you can't remember fully your name at that age. So the time is to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best thing. And the best thing which you have in life is when you are in youthful age, from 15 to 40 years. That is the best part of your life. And if you give that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's you've given the best thing to Allah. After when you are old, Israel is anyway going to take you to Allah.
Are there any questions? Or any more names for the course?
The course does not require, like some brothers ask afterwards, there's no obstacle in that. We don't charge anyone for the course, that, for example, the time which we give the person, nor they are required to do any kind of ba'a or anything like this or any hidden agenda. It is simply teaching you, giving you the tools, training and mindset, how to please Allah and how to live your life without evil in this life, so that you can meet goodness hereafter as well. Walaikum assalam.
A question about the course, and if you could maybe give us some indications of some of the signs a progression in the tazkiyah and tariqa Muhammadiyah, is there some kind of signs that we can measure, apart from obviously the course daily charts and sheets? Some indications, please.
Brother is saying that, are there any indication on that how we can measure the performance that one is progressing on the course? One is that I gave you the other day, that if someone has done the sheet of tongue, let's say for example, they have purified this tongue, and they think, what will be the criteria, idea which Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah himself mentioned, the performance will be that if you are speaking from morning to evening, and if you were in the same day, you were given Quran in your hand from morning to evening, there shouldn't be any difference in your speech without the Quran as well. So imagine, imaginary thing, that if you were to hold Quran and spend whole the day with wudu, and wherever you went, to your wife, shop, outside, here, office, benefits, there and there, if you can, whatever you can speak by holding the Quran, if you can speak that actually anyway without holding the Quran, this is one sign that your tongue has been rectified, it has been purified. And if you are asking about another sign, one of the very wise people and one of the sages, sage means actually these people who are full of wisdom, who decide, who by looking at the end, they decide what they should do now. That's wisdom. Looking what's now and deciding how to achieve this glass of juice. Yes, it's very good, looking very fresh and cold. But if I know there's poison in there, so the wisdom will be to looking what the result the poison will give. And based on that result, what should I do? I should not drink it. But if I base on temporal, but how it seems, and the coolness and the sweet which I'm going to get, then I'm going to drink it now. So a person, the wise people, these Anbiya alayhim salam and high ranking awliya Allah, they decide things on the basis of their ends. But what end this person is going to meet? So one of these people, righteous men, the mashayikh of Tariqah Muhammadiyah, they said that you should live your life as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you only for 24 hours in this life. Don't think of years and weeks, because you will be deluded by shaitan. Think of something to imagine, that you have been sent for 24 hours on this face of the earth. And you have been put into this situation. You have children. You have 35 years of, you are 40 years old or 50 years old. You have business. You have bills to pay. You have all these situations. You have enemies, you have friends, but you have been put in the middle, that let's see how you react to the servant. And their commands from Allah, their commands from Shaitan, they said that treat this life actually in 24-hour patches rather than actually in years and months, because you will be deluded. So they said that live your life, that if you were only given this 24 hours, and how you will manage things, how will you pay your bills, how will you manage them, how you will deal with people, how will you schedule your everyday activities and night activity, you also have to go to work, you also have to deal with people. But once you have this in mind, it's only 24 hours, your dealings will be different. And then next day take another 24 hours, because one day truly that will be the last 24 hours of you. So if a person spends like this, alhamdulillah, that is an indication that the course of self-purification is having an effect. But the real sound performance indicator is, as Prophet ﷺ also in one of the sayings actually indicated, that if you in your life are giving preference to Allah's commands to do things in all activities day and night, and you are giving preference to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way of life and his teaching and his sunnah over all other false ways, And thirdly, if you are having compassion upon creation and you are staying in the presence of Allah, Allah is with me. These four things, the more you have them, the more progress you have done. They are the strong and authentic indication. Other there can be many, but these are from our course and the which are known as the objectives of the course, four things and four qualities. But these are the indicators as well. The more you have them, that's to determine your progress, actually how much you have done. Yes, brother. When we say that we have a conversation with Allah, that doesn't mean zikr only, because zikr is something else. Conversation is like a dua. The difference between zikr and dua, dua is also a form of zikr, but just zikr is like you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, that is also good. But then to connect to Allah and speak to Allah, that is highest form of, that is the ruh of ibadah. Example, conversation could be taken any form, anything. For example, you are sitting here and you have many things in mind. I'm going to go home, I'll have faced this problem, I have this difficulty. Instead of speaking to yourself, everyone is speaking all the time to themselves. Everyone, they are speaking all the time, soundlessly. No sound, but in the sound. Oh, this person looks weird. Oh, this person looks good. Oh, he is giving me hard time, or etc. etc. I have to plan, I have to do things, I'm not living successful life, I have to do this course, how I'm going to pay this bill, over this insurance has come up, or this has come. They are speaking all the time, the conversation is taking place inside. What the awliya and Shaykh Tariqa Muhammadiyah say, you are speaking anyway, instead of speaking to yourself, speak to Allah about these things. So instead of saying I have to pay this bill, you don't have any power, really, infinite power to solve your problem. So speak to Allah, oh Allah, this responsibility has come upon me, please help me, I have to do this. Oh Allah, I am feeling ill, my children are ill, I am worried about their future. Oh Allah, in your hand is the future, knowledge and everything. Oh Allah, grant this. Oh Allah, this person is giving me hard time, wife, be it husband. Oh Allah, guide him or guide her or give me sabr. So meaning, whatever conversation that talks, all the time conversation is taking place in your heart and mind. But how that is going to waste is because you are talking to yourself only. Same conversation, start talking with Allah Azawajal. And there will be completely difference, you know, 180 degree actually turn. Instead of talking to yourself, talk to Allah about all these things. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said in the hadith that even ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lace as well. Shoelace also ask Allah. If you want a shoelace, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for as well. Because that is going to connect you to Allah. Shoelace, what is shoelace? Tasma, choti si cheez hai. It's a small thing. It's a small thing, but it can be a big thing when through that you connect to Allah. Oh Allah, give me this problem, this difficulty, people are giving me hard time, etc., etc. I have these worries about future, about the hereafter, about this, people are trying to plan to rob me, things like this, or they are jealous. Oh Allah, give me protection from the evil. That's how Rasulullah used to do. If you go over the du'as of 24 hours, supplication of Prophet Sallallahu, it's like you are conversing with Allah. He's going to Thailand, he's saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubsi wal-khaba'ith. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in your protection from the evil jinnat or the filth or the evil jinnat and male and female. When he is eating, he says, oh Allah, I begin with your name. And when he has begun eating, he will say, oh Allah, I thank you for what you provided. And you are truly my God. And at the end you say, oh Allah, I thank you for you, the eating and drinking and what you facilitated without my effort. He is going, getting out of the house, he's speaking to Allah. Tawakkal, Bismillah, Allah, with your name and protection I get out. Tawakkal to Allah, I rely on you. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. An adilla aw dalla. That some I might lead someone actually on wrong or said something wrong, or someone actually said something wrong to me. Ajhala aw yujhar walayya, or someone behave illfully and by ignorance with me, or I behave. This was the kind of conversation. So ye jo dua hai, jo sunnat dua hai 24 ghante ki, ye sari conversation hai Allah ke saath. Huzur ul Islam ne sikha di, like you were asking the question, give me an example. Every dua of Rasulullah SAW of daily activities was a conversation. When he saw the moon, he conversed with Allah. When he got to sleep and woke up, he spoke to Allah. Alhamdulillah illadhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. And he's going to sleep, Allahumma bismika mutu wa ahya. And when he feels angry, he will pray something else. Or he is in the war, he will pray something else. Meaning that's how he taught to converse with Allah. It's the highest form of zikr. Thus, this is taught in the course of self-purification. In the second part, second stage, purification of the mind. These things all are taught. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm theoretically saying, if you practically want them inside you, then start this course. It's a course, the most wonderful course which you can do in this life, because benefit of every course will end at the time of death. But the benefit of the course of this tazkiyah is going to actually go with you in the hereafter as well. Meaning the angel is not going to ask you, have you done PhD in micro, for example, technology, or actually in chemical engineering or not. But their question will be about who have you been following. Did you follow your Lord or not? Did you follow the Rasul, the Messenger sent or not? Did you follow the system of deen or not? That's what they question. That's what this course prepares you, so that you can answer the question, angels, in a good way, in a better way. Jazakallah. If there are any more questions, inshallah, all night I am with you, meaning here and sitting in my room. You can always come and ask anything. But now, as some people have to go to work and they have to go to school and things, we'll finish here and just finish on the Majlis of Zikr for a short while, for 20 minutes to half an hour. And thereafter, the brother have also done a aqiqah, which is Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Allah blessed him with the blessed daughter, which is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do participate and pray for her and all other Muslim children, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them a good future in this life and hereafter. One of our teachers, he used to say that people say to each other, always be happy. Allah tumhe khush rakhe. Allah tumhe khush rakhe. And he used to say to people, ki, Allah tumse khush ho. Allah tum se khush ho. May Allah be pleased with you. He said, when you are happy, you might be happy and Allah is displeased with you. That's not the best thing. So I pray for people, he would say that may Allah be pleased with you. Allah tum se khush ho. Tum khush ho. Allah paak tum se razi ho. Allah paak tum se razi ho. May Allah be pleased. He said that is the best dua which one can give. That's why we gave this dua to companions. When we say, radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. Isni badi dua hai ye. Jazakallah ji. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.